Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And we're here today with Jeanette.
Hi.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hey.
Lisa.
Hey.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Happy birthday. And Alex.
Hey.
And I'm Justin. And today we're watching Monkey.
Yes!
Monkey,
I'm very
magic,
excited.
Yeah.
It's okay. I can be excited. I can have emotions. Fine.
Mackenzie's expression disagrees.
The thing I learned is when you have a child, apparently everything you do is quote unquote cringe.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Monkey is pretty old. It's from 1978.
Is it 1978? Is it?
Yeah. Is it 1978?
Oh, cringe alert.
That's the original, but it got translated in 79, so it wasn't too far past the time.
Trust us. Oh my gosh.
So who remembers watching Monkey? Do you remember actually watching
it? Yes.
Because any time I only remember the good
bit. Used to be on an evening.
And I didn't remember anything.
Before Doctor Who.
Every episode before Doctor Who, and it played over
Doctor
and over again for years.
Oh,
and the theme song is so good. It was like, hey, hey, we're the monkey.
No!
And that's a good thing. I will remember.
We've watched the monkeys, and that didn't go down so well. But when I was a kid, we would watch this every day after school. Like, we just absolutely loved it. And I don't even know why we loved it so much. It just became this real
crazy
cool
stuff,
cult.
It was the equivalent of Dragon Ball Z for your generation. I think it was your generation's Dragon Ball Z.
Well, it's not even on a par with anything else I would have been into at the time.
I loved it.
I didn't even get into things like Transformers and stuff where it had any... I just don't get into action at all.
Mm.
But I really loved this show. It was so cool. And I just thought the guy who played Monkey was just like the best. Then, as a bit of a retro thing, in what, late 90s? They used to put the episodes on after Recovery on a Saturday morning. So I don't know if you guys remember the show Recovery. It was this show on ABC, and they would have like all of the Australian live acts come in and play music, and it was a bit of a, I don't know, maybe it was a bit of a Gen X thing. But yeah, she's just rolling her eyes. But as a bit of a retro thing, then they started playing Monkey Magic straight afterwards, and it became a huge kind of cult thing as well. So
Jeanette, what's Monkey about?
Well, is it the former cop Adrian Monk?
No.
Still not.
I did watch that about a year ago. Yeah. They've got them on Prime, I think. It's on one of them anyway.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'll stop now.
Yeah. It's taken from ancient legends around the Chinese monkey god. Became very popular in Japan. They had this whole theatre tradition around monkey. So, which we studied in film studies, and I have mostly forgotten about that. It was a really long time ago. Yeah. But no theatre. So they did like theatre productions of it in Japan. But originally the legends are Chinese, but were really, really popular in Japan. And
because it was them taking... It was a story of how they took Buddha's teachings from, like, India all through China and Japan and all through those ancient countries.
They were going to get the ancient tablets from India. So the whole thing is their journey as they head to India, isn't it?
Oh, they're heading to India or from India?
I think to India.
Oh, okay.
And they're crossing the Himalayas.
Yes. But, of course, Monkey is an immortal because he stole all the immortal peaches.
He's a trickster god.
A trickster god. Yeah. And then he stole all those peaches and then went amok. And so Buddha put him under a mountain for 500 years.
But the nature of Monkey is irrepressible.
Don't worry, we'll play the whole the beginning story thing. In fact, you've probably heard it by now already.
Yeah.
So the nature of Monkey is irrepressible. This was shown only on the ABC, BBC, ABC, New Zealand. But only 39 of the original 52 episodes were actually shown. So there's actually about 13 episodes that were dubbed in 2004 that nobody has, that, you know, we've yet to see.
We wouldn't have seen. Are they all on Netflix?
I don't know. So we'll have to have a look.
Yeah.
Because my experience with Monkey was the 2011 movie, Forbidden Kingdom.
Yeah,
Forbidden Kingdom,
They've made multiple reboots.
Multiple attempts,
Monkey Magic was probably a reboot of an earlier one as well. But they've rebooted it so many times, movie form, TV form, cartoon form.
I think there was a recent one as well, which was just the monkey story. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because there was one that was made in New Zealand.
A TV series, too.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so I guess we'll get on and watch it.
Has Alex seen it?
No, I was a bit too young for when it originally aired. The song is like, it's in the second of my head, I think. But I do remember trying to find it. Oh, two things about this. The first is, it's based upon specifically, I don't think this specifically, but the original Japanese title is a translation of Journey to the West, which is the original, which is the name of the Chinese novel, I guess you could say. And my relationship to it is, surprisingly, there's a YouTube channel called Overly Sarcastic Productions, and they got two presenters, Red and Blue. Blue does history, Red does myths and old stories, and classic works of literature. And so Red decided to basically somewhat adapt Journey to the West as a series.
Yeah.
And so, in a very funny way. And so I saw that version of... Somebody uploaded the first episode of Monkey, and it just felt like at the time, oh, this is just an adaptation of Journey to the West, and it felt off because it's like the story felt unoriginal to me because I saw it previously in this manner, and so I got turned off by the slightly racist accents the dub team did. So I'm kind of like, this might be incredibly cringe because of the bad accents.
But that was just, that's what it was back then, you know. Any of the martial arts movies and stuff, they were all a bit the same, weren't they?
Yes. Fainal, have you seen it?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No. So short, yes and no.
Yeah.
So, Justin, this was your pick, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
But this was a show that, so did you watch this back in the 80s when it was
absolutely,
on TV?
Because I watched it before all the episodes of Doctor Who.
Of course you did. Of course.
How could I miss it? But yes, it was on. It used to get shown on MTV later on. MTV showed it all the time, repeat after repeat on MTV, years and years later. But yeah, it was originally ABC.
It's probably in the same way that ABC started reshowing it, but showing it to the Gen Xers in the same way MTV were.
That's right. It was just considered something funny to show on MTV.
I think all of the actors on this show in Japan were like mega stars. I don't know how big the show was, but I think they were big stars beforehand.
Yeah. I've got a list of their names here, but they're really difficult.
We wouldn't know who they are.
Masaki Sakai, Masuka, Natsumi, Shiro, Kishibe. I'm butchering this.
And get in the comments and let us know if Justin butchered anything.
Yuki, Nishida.
I'm looking over his shoulder and like, yes, he's butchering these. Yeah, so it's starring Masaki Sakai, Masako Natsume, Shiro Kishibe, Toshiyuki Nishida, Tompei Hidari, and Shunji Fujimura.
So
what he said.
So the boy monk priest who plays Tripitaka is played by a woman, which you'll see, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Is this a spoiler?
It's not a spoiler.
I'm contractually obliged to be mad if it's a spoiler.
But she's actually, before this came out, she was like, I don't think she was just a model. I think she was like a supermodel. She was really huge. No, the person.
What's the difference between a model and a supermodel?
She was massive. Yeah, she was massive. And but for the role, she shaved her head to play the priest, because obviously Buddhist monk has to shave their head. So it was like a huge deal that she went from modelling to acting. And we'll see whether her acting holds up, you know, going from modelling to acting. But completely shaved her head for the role.
And she's playing a man too.
Playing the boy priest.
Playing the boy priest.
I'm guessing it's like a tradition.
That's actually
in Japan.
Very progressive.
Yeah. I don't think it was, though.
I know, because I also know the Buddha was played by a woman,
Don't know about that.
I don't think Buddha actually...
I know that there is a type of acting in Japan, I can't think of the name, where it's all of the characters are played by men in the same way it used to be hundreds of years ago. But there's a name for that as well, but I can't think of what it is.
Theatrical traditions in Japan.
Yeah, but I wasn't aware of it the other way around, where the male role was played by women.
I know, I just...
For some reason in this, it is.
Yeah. I know, I just assumed maybe it's because of some tradition in Japan where priests are played by women or something like that.
I just assumed it was because they wanted to get around the child labour laws, so they went, how can we have a young boy or like a teenage boy without having a teenage boy. Let's get a scrawny looking female and make her play the boy. I don't know.
Alex, who was your favourite character? Which...
That, no. No. I've only seen the one episode.
You've only seen the. Oh, you've only seen
the. Somebody uploaded the first episode to YouTube.
I think it's you and I.
I saw the first episode on Netflix like a year ago, and I'm like, oh my god, I was expecting the episodes to be short. For some reason, that first episode takes ages. And I'm like, okay.
45 minutes, Angus.
45 minutes.
Which I think they were usually about, 20 minutes or something.
But that didn't have all the characters either. So it's not really representative of the series.
It was kind of fun, kind of silly. It really jumped around a lot. Yeah, there were entire scenes that just felt like they were missing. And I'm like,
the episode then cut down to 40 minutes.
Yeah, because I remember, like I said before, the early sarcastic production version of it. Mm. It was like three episodes explaining how Monkey became immortal. Mm. It was like three different events. It was like eating the peaches from heaven, which made him immortal. Mm. He got immortal another way by stealing a thing that makes him immortal. And... Yeah, so it got immortal three different separate ways.
Well, I think this is set after that.
So I think maybe they just try to squeeze this introduction thing into one episode and it just got forced. It got too much.
Yeah.
Well, there's one particular scene where I think Monkey was fighting someone and it cuts away to show another scene.
There's only one scene where that happened.
And then the next scene where they go back to Monkey, he's not fighting the individual and it was just a completely different environment sort thing. And it's like, hold on a minute, what the devil happened while we were looking away?
I'm pretty sure from memory there would be episodes where he'd be flying around on a cloud, next minute he'd be on the ground, next minute he'd be on the cloud again. There is definitely continuity editing issues.
Yeah.
We
need an episode where he's flying on the cloud.
I thought every episode he flies on the cloud.
Well, I think they only introduced that a bit later, didn't
they? And he does the little thing with his fingers and then the cloud comes over and he jumps on it. It
sounds very Dragon Ball Z.
It's very Dragon Ball Z.
Fun fact, so the monkey...
Dragon Ball Z is very much...
The name of the monkey, kick or god, king, in Chinese is Sun Wukong, which in Japanese is Son Goku.
Son Goku, yeah.
Huh.
So Goku is actually an adaptation of the monkey.
Yeah. Monkey Son Goku.
In regards to theatrical traditions in Japan, are you thinking Kabuki theatre?
That is an
all-male cast.
Yeah.
That's the one I was thinking of, where it's all men playing all of the roles.
Yeah.
So we're watching episode 6, which is Even Monsters Can Be People, which is fun.
Really? Are we going to humanise monsters?
We're humanising monsters.
We're humanising monkeys and pigs and horses.
We're not humanising, Pigsy's
awesome. Pigsy was my favourite. But then I had a crush on Monkey as a kid. But I think that's because he was like cheeky, character.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think in that same way that I always seem to like Rimmer from Red Dwarf and Rick from The Young Ones. Like, I always liked the jerks, and I think Pixie's just a jerk, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah,
he's just
absolutely.
Rimmer.
Yeah.
Rimmer.
Yeah, it's really my favourite character.
Okay, you know what? We're going to watch Monkey. I'm going to talk to you about this. And we'll be back after this.
He's like, no, Rimmer.
We are leaving. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I'm here to stay. What? I want to hear the rest of the song.
Monkey, and now for the next 20 minutes, Angus.
He will never need a zipper.
We haven't played
what
that.
Is wrong with you?
Maybe we'll watch
the songs and it's like
maybe in our revisit.
Oh, no, 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 you
that.
And I.
Yeah. He's the one who's got the puppet, that puppet.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay. All
right. Watch Monkey.
Let's watch Monkey. All right.
Let's watch Monkey. Monkey magic. Monkey magic. Monkey magic. In Gondoro, Gondoro, they say it was an
Mackenzie is blocking the
I'm trying to hit mute.
So we just watched Monkey. Episode 6.
Monkey magic.
Alex, what did you think?
I think it's cheesy in the right way. I think there's a little monkey in this part of the room.
There's one small monkey.
There's one small monkey eating you.
Go on, Alex.
Oh, I think it's lovely.
Take two.
Yeah, I think it was cheesy in just the right way. I was very worried that they would lean very into doing stereotypical accents for everybody, and they were a bit, but it wasn't horrendously so. But yeah, I think it was cheesy in just the right way, and it definitely felt as though they were warping the words around the actions and what they were doing, and it felt artificial, but in a realistic way. That doesn't make sense.
It's not like
they're being overly flowery to make it so that the words fit the same that everybody was doing.
It seemed more that the accents were trying to add a little bit of kind of wisdom sort of thing, and that
the typical
oriental wisdom sort of thing.
Yeah. I think also trying to work out what it would be like if it wasn't for those slightly cringy accents, and it does feel like it was fun and cheesy and ridiculous in certain spots. So yeah, it feels like it'll be a lot of fun to watch it through and just hold my be like, yeah, accents are annoying.
Just say how long you can handle it.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, but it's just like in certain spots, like yeah, they're hamming it up.
They're totally hamming it.
But
the way they modified the scripts, so there was an English... David Weir was the individual who did that. They ran on BBC Radio My Word, which was a game show that it was very highbrow kind of stuff where they would go through words and sort out, where's this word fit? Or what's the missing word from this or something? And then they'd discuss the origin of the word and all this
kind
of...
David Weir would do that.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah. Not very.
Riveting stuff. Yeah, it's as exciting as riveting a piece of metal.
Yeah.
It was sort of done in a witty way, so it was kind of like, I don't know, some of the shows you watched, Angus, the...
Like QI.
QI.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things I was kind of impressed by was just the story as a whole was relatively decent, and I've actually kind of was thinking, I could totally throw that just at a D&D party. it's that sort of stuff. And I'm like, maybe I should watch more of that just to...
Also just thinking as well, maybe, because this is an old text, whether this has inspired a gajillion animes, inspired a lot of work in China and Japan over the years, and now this is old hat in the same way that us in the West have probably ripped off Lord of the Rings 1,000 times.
So maybe
Robin Hood.
I'm just wondering how much of this is old hat. Like, if you brought this kind of story up in Japan, or they're like, oh, this is old hat, in the same way we would consider...
I remember introducing my husband to Monty Python's Flying Circus, and he's like, oh, yeah, but I've seen this before. Yeah. I've seen this done by other people. I'm like, yeah, but these guys did it first, and trying to explain that, yes, it's hackneyed and cliched, but this was the original. This is where everyone else copied it from.
I was thinking more like how we had exactly the same stories in different models, in different mediums, year after year after year, and it's just the same story done 1,000 times.
Which, I guess, it's the hero's journey, isn't it? And this is the ultimate hero's journey.
Yes, it is.
Of the really early hero's journeys.
Mackenzie, what did you think of that episode? Did you enjoy it? Or
you can be honest.
Yeah.
You just have to use your words because it's a podcast.
She had plenty
to say when the mics weren't on.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to have her opinions recorded onto permanent medium.
Is there any parts of it that you enjoyed?
Definitely not the bit that you were singing.
Oh, I thought you liked the bit when I was singing.
Yeah, she sang the opening and the closing credits.
She was like, get down. Now it's like my head.
So when they used to have this on after, I know I keep going on about it, but it was such a cool thing when they used to have it on after recovery, and when they used to finish. I don't know if you've heard of Angus Sampson. He's an Australian actor. He's been in just about everything in the US at the moment. He's on a new show called Lincoln Lawyer. He was on Fargo. He just pops up everywhere. But he was the enforcer originally on recovery, and he used to just wear like a balaclava, and like he was a bouncer, but no one saw his face. And then he ended up getting promoted to lead. and they made their own karaoke version of that end song. And they had footage of Angus Sampson wearing a sweater vest, walking down a jetty and looking wistfully into the ocean, like they do with those.
That's
really...
right. They also put it in Recovery, didn't they?
Yeah. And they showed back-to-back episodes at the end of Recovery, and
that's right.
They really played on the fact that everyone would be wanting to sing the intro and the outro to all of the episodes, and really played on it.
Did you have a question, Mackenzie?
Or something? Remember how you said Angus?
Yes.
We have an Angus in this game.
We do have an Angus.
Is it an Angus?
I've never heard of this other Angus. He must be in
Yes.
So did it measure up, Lisa? Or?
It didn't age well. Definitely didn't age well. But granted, I was younger than Mackenzie when I got into this show. I knew that he wouldn't. And I've tried to go back and rewatch it, and it doesn't age well. But I did enjoy the episode.
So
I wouldn't sit and watch it for the fun of it, though.
So why is it age? Is it just like the cheesy fight sequences don't hold interest anymore?
That's it. And it's just that little bit cheesy and a little bit juvenile.
Why is it called Monkey Magic?
Because Monkey, the monkey god, is a magical individual. He's like the first monkey sort of thing.
Yes, he's the first monkey.
So he's like the king of the monkeys, the monkey spirit sort of thing that humans...
Yeah, and he also just was able to overpower the god, the gods.
He was a trickster god like Maui.
Or Loki.
Loki, yeah.
She said, "Oh, he's magical because he rides on clouds and up." And I was like, "I can ride on clouds too."
But he also, I don't know if you noticed.
I just have to T-pose up to the clouds and then ride them up.
I don't know if you noticed, but he also summoned multiple of himself as well, a mirror image.
Yeah, I do that as well. I just summon my teddies and click and they're me.
No, well, you can record your own version. MK Magic. MK Magic.
I can go in my room and be like, MK Magic.
Yeah.
MK Magic.
Which is not unlike what I used to do in the early 80s when I used to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Magic.
MK Magic. Come on with me. MK Magic. MK Magic.
What did everyone else think of it?
Yeah, I guess. Baylor, what do you think?
It could have been a lot better.
It could have been a lot worse.
I can see what you mean by saying it doesn't hold up. I don't see what Alex means by saying that it had cheesy moments that were hilarious.
I didn't say anything.
I must have not been able to see them or something, properly, because I was just sitting in the going, yes.
Yeah.
Sure, okay. I think I turned away immediately once I heard the not entirely racist but racist dubbing.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And there was so much mumbling it was hard to hear. I'd like to see a reboot of it, because while the story was good, it was poorly written. Just generally, like, a lot of the conversation didn't translate over very well, clearly. Yeah. But I'm assuming that was just a translation issue. Oh, no, what were you going to say, Angus?
Oh, you see, I was able to read the subtitles with where I was sitting.
Yeah.
Which meant that I could understand everything that was being said. Yeah. I don't think the dialogue was as, as intelligible as and inconsistent sort of thing.
Yeah.
Having the subtitles did help with just being able to understand what was being said, but I don't think the actual script writing per se was necessarily bad. I actually found it a lot of fun. I definitely saw the cheesy aspect.
There
was a moment where Monkey threw his staff up, jumped onto his cloud, landed without his staff, and then took off. And the next scene, it's Monkey holding the staff on the cloud. And the narrator just goes, his staff having caught up with him after growing quite
full. That's the only thing I understand. They picked up
on the continuity made a point of acknowledging it.
But also the other thing is, I don't know where this compared to Chinese filmmaking at the time.
Japanese, not Chinese. Chinese myths, all the sort of Kabuki theatre around monkeys, Japanese.
I didn't realise it was a Japanese production.
Yeah, no, this is a Japanese production.
Right, okay.
So, a lot of the monkey sort of legends actually come out of Japan now, or have been...
Because they've been...
televised in Japan. So this is Japanese. You can see it's drawn on those theatrical traditions. It's very theatrical. It's there.
It's definitely a lot of pantomime in it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's like exaggerating everything for effect. And it's like, this is not the way people would behave in this. It's just...
No.
And it feels like a little bit of that theatre sort.
It feels more like anime, but a lot of Japanese live action stuff does feel very... anime inspired, if that makes sense.
Or so maybe it's just anime. They both draw from the same sources.
Well, yeah, because like I can't even remember what it was, but as we were watching it, I was like, oh yeah, I could see an animated character doing that from just any genre of anime, I guess. And a lot of their modern live action stuff feels exactly the same. So it doesn't feel like their acting hasn't changed. Like, they haven't gone completely Western or anything.
I'm also wondering, whether or not, because of these traditions, that what we would see is over-the-top pantomime and so on. It's something that they're used to in the way they see certain things. Yeah. And so it's like, this is... and. Would, based on these traditions, would basically see this is the way it's performed. It's done in this exaggerated way for the style.
It's like the difference between Bollywood and Hollywood, their cultural difference in theatrical performances and stuff has led to a very different.
And they carried very specifically a humorous character in there as well. The guy, I think it was
Pigsy.
Pigsy was quite clearly the Joker, which is like a very classic stereotype. That's not even the right word, but for a character in an anime is like that is one of the tropes that you need to have, and they follow quite clearly a method.
Well, they're all kind of spirit and like reflections of an animal sort of thing. So Pigsy is based on a pig, fish individual. I don't know Sandy. His name. Sandy is based
the,
on
the
a
horse
fish.
Is apparently a dragon.
Yeah,
the horse turns into a character on the show later down the track as well. So
See, I don't know Chinese zodiac very well, but it sounded initially like it was based off of Chinese zodiac.
I don't think fishes are part of the zodiac.
No, that's what.
But fish are revered, aren't they? Like
fish,
koi
are definitely a revered animal sort of thing. I presume the story would come from the basis that all animals once were immortals or had counterparts in immortality.
The god of the monkeys and the god of the water spirits and and I think part of the way that they acted it and how they played it up, I wonder if it was because it was aimed at a younger audience as well, so it did have a bit of that kind of pantomime, because it's like, oh, this is what the kids would want, this is how we act to children. She's just like, hand up.
What's up?
Because it's made from like 1979, I think it said in the corner. I don't like very old stuff, so I would disagree. I wouldn't watch it if it was my choice to watch it.
But if you were born in that era and you're watching a kids show, and you're watching the show, that would be a show for kids, not for adults. Don't you agree?
Well, when you were a kid, there was lots of stuff that are still around, like Paddington Bear.
Yeah, but they've rebooted that a million times as well.
It's wonderful.
I would really love to see a reboot of it, though.
I think they did do a reboot in, like, 2018.
They have done a reboot,
But, like, a reboot, because they've started doing really good, tasteful reboots of late, which are, like, 10 episodes for one season sort of thing. They make the episodes 1 hour, and they just put a lot of time and effort into it all. And I'd like to see something small like that.
Yeah, I think I do remember seeing a back... A decade or two ago
makes me feel like they could probably do another one and still get away with it. Like,
and also, this is like literally a 16th century story that's been done a million times in the same way that we've...
older, isn't it? Isn't it? From like,
I don't know,
I think
maybe
it's much older.
Yeah, like 2,000 years old type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe like it's some older stuff originally.
What did you find it?
It was so different. So I probably watched this on a 1950s black and white TV. I don't know if I've even seen it in colour. So just seeing it in colour was a bit... So really snowy, it would have been very low quality. So the quality of it absolutely astonished me. And, oh my goodness, I had no idea. I was so impressed with things like set design, costumes. Clearly you could tell that those actors are, I think a couple of them are really serious actors trying to ham it up because like the demons. I felt that at times they were just too serious.
Wikipedia says that it was first published in 1592.
I was going to say, it's based on much older tradition. So the person they accredit it to in the intro is the Wu Cheng'en. I did not pronounce that right.
It's as close as you can get in English without trying to
know the.
So there is a new series, so it's called The New Legends of Monkey 2018, but I don't think it's a comedy. It's on Netflix right now, so you can watch that. And
because this is episodic, the kind of time of episodic TV with just little closed loop stories is definitely a thing of the past.
Yes.
You rarely get that anymore, especially with. Yeah.
If the original story itself was episodic, then it wouldn't work to make it like it isn't.
So I don't know how well. I don't think there would be a modern adaptation that would reflect the TV show of times past. They may hearken further back to the novel directly, but I don't think we'll get a reboot of this. We'll probably get a reboot like of the novel.
Oh, they could reboot this, but as an anime. Yeah, I can see that working very well. Yeah.
But even then, a lot of modern anime is going into story arcs as well, more than anything else.
I think you mentioned before that they technically Goku is Monkey. It's just adaptation
of
character.
Some of the best anime is episodic.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a lot of really good non-episodic anime.
Yeah.
There's definitely some more classic that everyone knows about anime that's more episodic. I think they're called shonens, I think.
Shonen is basically the anime for youngborns.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
So that is kind of style of stuff.
There is an anime also, Japanese anime, Monkey Magic, Japanese TV series, 1998.
I'm this close to explain differences between shonen, seinen, shoujo animes. I will not, because that will make me massively...
We need to save this for the next... Is it next few episodes when we tackle another anime?
Yeah, like 2 episodes.
Yeah, basically, they separate.
Sailor Moon.
Yeah. I was just going to say the sentence of they divide anime and manga based upon the target audience. So, like, if it's for young boys, it's different to if it's going to be for teenagers, if it's going to be for older people. Yep. So that's the name.
Because I've heard Naruto, Bleach.
They're all shonen.
They're all shonen.
Basically, it's the same style.
More about the audience as opposed to the 700 episodes that exist.
That's the style. They just do a gajillion episodes because they can.
So what kind of food was this one, Angus?
Okay then. I don't know. Because this one...
Try not to slip into stereotypes like the show does.
Yeah. Yes, don't worry. I was not going to go with, like, rice crackers or something.
No, Kung Pao chicken, because that was... Well, isn't that in a white person's take on a...
Yes. Oh, yeah. And also, it's not just a white person's take. It was a person's take on a Chinese thing. Like, yeah, describing a Japanese show, which is, like, extra rude.
But then I guess it's a Japanese show that's based on a Chinese story.
But like...
What was he eating by the water? Was that peaches? The fruit that he was stealing, you know?
I mean, it could have been peaches. Guess something like that.
Katsu curry, which is a Japanese take on Indian food.
What?
Katsu curry.
Okay. I remember reading somewhere that in Japan, curry is considered an English food because that's where they got it from.
Yeah.
Probably is.
I was in Japan, I did like a 1 month exchange thing, and my host family, like, we had traditional Japanese breakfast with miso and rice and all the rest of it, but for dinner we had spag bol and curry and pizza and... Yeah, really pretty much the same type of stuff you would have over here. Yeah, like it was, I probably had more curry when I was in Japan than I did leading up to that.
Curry is really, really popular Japanese dish.
Not going to lie, if we keep talking about food, I am going to need to eat something.
Yeah. I'm feeling it.
Yeah. You literally ate before you started. How are you hungry?
I've barely eaten today, so yeah, I need to.
I don't know. What food to call this one, because it's old, it's aged slightly poorly, but I think it's still kind of fun to watch, enjoyable, but other people
how much
disagree.
Is the aging, how much of the aging is the racist voices, and how much of the aging is everything else?
I think it's the racist voices that really pulled me out of it. I did not like the dubbing.
I hate dubbing. If it wasn't dubbed... And you could hear the original voices with subtitles, I think it would be much better.
Yeah, but then I'd struggle with it because I'm dyslexic and I cannot keep
it. Oh,
and it was aimed for kids as well. Kids aren't going to sit and watch something subtitled at 5:30 on a weeknight.
Yeah.
So can I be really wrong about the food and maybe suggest pork, fish, you know, some other white meat? Monkey's brain. Well known in Cantonese cuisine, not usually found in Washington, D.C. So,
Kini.
Monkey yeah, mead.
I think of monkey's paw. Wait, no, that's not
it. That's a different story again.
Chicken feet. Not everybody loves it. And
yeah, but
some
I don't,
people don't
so.
Think that it's honey, aged well. Honey, but they're really good.
I need chicken's feet. No.
No, this is... Yeah, no, yeah, this is the difficult one.
Okay, so rating then.
I might have to go with a number.
A number. You have to go with a number.
I'm giving you a number.
Harkening back
to
the dark
Japanese.
Ages of the podcast.
Give me a number and I'll translate it into Japanese.
Okay, so...
Now make it really big.
Can I suggest a food?
Oh, okay, yeah,
hey.
Go for it.
Momos. They're Tibetan, they're Buddhist. They can have multiple feelings, but... If you're properly Buddhist, they're vegetarian.
Momos with pineapple.
Momos with pineapple.
Done. Done. That's the best answer so far.
Okay.
Oh, that's horrendous.
Poor Justin.
Fried ice cream.
Oh, but didn't we use that when we used for Tintin?
Oh,
no.
Was it?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Not much people like it. But it's still pretty good to some people.
And I'll be honest, it did not age well when I was a kid, so yeah. I was not a fan.
One time we went to a Chinese restaurant and we introduced Mackenzie to fried ice cream and she was just like, this is so overrated, I am not here for it.
I did not have that fried bear after all, I just had that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had it.
Oh.
I'm going to have to...
Try it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, numbers.
Oh,
numbers.
God. Let's go with a 17.5 out of a 32.
What? Now I don't know what my numbers in Japanese are.
What was that?
A 17.5 out of 32.
Oh, I don't know what
0.5
is.
What's that in Japanese?
17 is... Shichi, no, that sounds wrong. I did not know the word for decimal.
We've got it.
Shichi, I don't know what the decimal is, though. You'll just have to round it down, I'm sorry.
I'm going to cheat.
He's
by my phone.
Google Translate.
Oh, dear me.
That was nice. That was good. Good podcast. I enjoyed that.
We haven't stopped recording. It doesn't even translate to freaking numbers. I shouldn't have.
The answer was 17.5.
Because I don't
which
know.
Which is over half, which surprised me.
Okay, what are we watching next week?
Next month we're watching Sailor Moon, but we might have a recording before then, possibly.
We got a Halloween episode to record.
Halloween episodes to record.
I think also trying to work out because we're doing Doctor Who for November. What we're doing for Christmas? We're probably going to be doing mine either next or soon just to make it fit.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh. What?
Okay.
Oh, Dr. Frankenstein.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
I haven't seen that since
Frankenstein.
I've not seen it at all. I've seen clips of it.
All right. So that was the Classic Cult TV Club, and we'll see you next month.
Bye.
Bye.